to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul Moores, and I will be your host. We're very excited to release new content every month, and we're so thankful that you would take time out of your schedule to listen. I know every podcast asks you to do this, but we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review this podcast on your podcast app, because it really does help people find us. Now, today is a really special day. Up until this point in our podcast history, we have been having guests that are staff members here at Broadway Church. And today is a little step to the side of that. We have two of our Broadway Church global workers with us, Darcy and Leanne McAllister. They work in Southeast Asia, and they are in Canada right now. And we thought we'd take the chance to have them come in and to get them to speak into some things that they are quite honestly experts at. So without talking too much more, Darcy and Leanne, welcome. Glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first before kind of we get into the meat of what we're talking about. Tell us a little bit about Darcy and Leanne.
Darcy and Leanne have been married for over 30 years.
A long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've just finished quarantine number 5.
We've spent 11 weeks in isolation.
So why is that? I thought we only had to spend 2 weeks in isolation. Tell us why you've spent 11 weeks in isolation.
We were bad. No. We spend half of our time in Asia and half of our time in Canada. And so in this pandemic, there with pre-booked flights and plans made, it turned into 5 quarantines. Mm-hmm. And some of those took us by surprise.
Some of them we had planned for, but our work in Asia continued. So we did that. I'm quite proud of us, actually, because we've done pretty well.
Yeah, it was actually good for our marriage, mm-hmm. good for us, and good for our work.
Yes. So we've been, like Darcy said, married a long time. We've got 3 children, all adults, married, and we became grandparents in the last year, twice over. So it's a new day. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. So just call me Pop-Pop.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm Grammy.
Awesome. Pop-Pop and Grammy. I wanted to have you guys here because, I see you as people that have a specific acumen in a couple of topics that I'd like to draw out. And the first one is, of course, you mentioned going back and forth to Southeast Asia. What does it mean to lead cross-culturally? We live in a very multicultural part of the world, we think. You know, sometimes we go to other parts of the world and it feels a little bit even more multicultural. But explain to us what it means. You spend half of your time in Canada and half of your time in an Asian context. Why don't you maybe begin talking about cross-cultural leadership by describing the context in which you are leading cross-culturally?
So the context that we're leading in Asia is we've taken over a historic mission started way back
in the 50s.
In the 50s. And so we've taken that over. It involves working with churches, with leaders. We sponsor a school. We work with a university, seminary. So it's pretty broad. And interestingly, it's a shift in roles because originally those global workers who started it would have led it. Mm-hmm. But now we are working really as peers with many of the people who have been trained and blessed and kind of brought up in those settings. Mm-hmm. So that's fascinating to us.
Fascinating. So expound a little bit more on that. What makes it unique or different?
So we actually moved to our city January 2020.
Okay.
2.5 weeks later, the virus hit our city. Mm-hmm. So we went in thinking we knew what was going to happen and we're really kind of surprised and taken off kilter or what have you. But what we're learning is, I guess we're learning how to really cross cultures, hey, and how to engage with people. In the West, and for Darcy and I, we've been leaders for decades now. And there's a part of us that knows how to do things mm-hmm. because we've done a lot of things over decades. And so here we were going into Asia. We'd been in Asia lots, but we'd never lived there before. Mm-hmm. And so we knew going in that our posture had to change.
Sure.
So instead of coming in as experts of like, here we are, you know, this is what we do, this is what we know, we had to come in and say, here we are, tell us about you, tell us about this city. Tell us about your culture, why you do what you do, why you choose not to do other things. And so just that posture, because I like to say I'm a recovering know-it-all. Mm-hmm. Like I love, sounds terrible, but like I like being a help to people. Mm-hmm. I like knowing subjects and that kind of thing. And I had to put that aside and go, okay, I'm coming in with a body of knowledge.
Sure.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But I have to come in here as a learner. Mm-hmm. And be wide open to things that I just don't understand.
Darcy, I saw you lighting up a bit there as she was talking in a couple of spots. Why don't you speak to how leading or what's been unique about the cross-cultural setting that you've been leading in?
Well, the unique part is that you don't come in and lead right away. Mm-hmm. In fact, you go in and listen.
Now, would that be a truism of all leadership contexts that you don't go in and lead right away? Like, can you dive a little deeper on that?
Well, I think if there's a fire, you would want someone to come in and lead.
Yes.
Right away. But I would say, actually, it's a North American weak spot.
Okay.
Where we come in and we go, I'm going to lead this way. Mm-hmm. And we don't take the time to listen. We don't take the time to even, like, we start in doing right away. And I'm actually really grateful for the pandemic and for all the...
Whoa.
Yeah,
you're grateful
really.
For the pandemic. Now, many people will be listening to this and they will shake their head or they...
Or shake their fist.
Or shake their fist, pound the steering wheel as they're commuting in to work. What do you mean you're thankful for the pandemic?
Well, in every crisis, there's an opportunity. And so the opportunity from everything being shut down and everything shifting and everything changing meant that we had to step back from our normal behaviors mm-hmm. and our planned ministry mm-hmm. and go, okay, we need to slow down and listen to what are the needs of the people here, who are they, and begin to offer ourselves in how we could serve them mm-hmm. rather than come in with an agenda.
And understanding the context. Because we make all sorts of assumptions about what the needs are around or what's happening culturally, what the nuances are. We put that through our lens of our own culture mm-hmm. and can completely miss the boat. And so it takes so much like that ability to lead yourself and pull back rather than going forward in order to really understand the context before you get started.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So I think you should do that more in North America. I think that would be something that we've learned. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is I realized pretty fast in myself that I bring cultural judgments mm-hmm. with me as I cross cultures. And so, for example, in the pandemic, the pandemic hits, and in a day, we went from 30% mask wearing normally to 99.5. Like
no, 100%.
I saw two people.
Okay.
Out of thousands.
8 million. Yeah,
you know, 8 million? not wearing a mask outside. Mm-hmm. And so immediately you think, wow, this is about conformity, and you start to put your North American lens, and then you go, wait a second. There's something here. There's something actually really beautiful. Because when you ask people, why are you wearing a mask? And they're like, I'm a part of a community and I don't want to endanger the elders in my community. And so I won't even question it. So there wasn't the protest. It was this community response. Mm-hmm. And I went, wow, regardless of what I think about here in North America, something beautiful is here, and I had judged it.
It was like a value underneath sure. some actions that mm-hmm. I always know that I'm kind of bumping into culture when within me is this inner dialogue that says, well, that's stupid. Well, that's mm-hmm. dumb. And that's an invitation to get curious and go, okay, that's interesting. I don't understand what's driving this and the values underneath. And that's the richness of culture when you can get, you know, culture's kind of described as almost like an iceberg where there's the things you see, mm-hmm. but then there's all of that values and worldview underneath. And there's just so much treasure there mm-hmm. if you're willing to see it and to even learn from it.
So over the last year and a half, you've spent 9 months in your country or so. That'd be about right, right?
About 11 months.
11 months. Yeah. So who are the people that you are serving? What's a value? What represents the people that you're serving? When you ask the question, who are they? Who are they?
Highly educated. Mm-hmm. We work a lot with leaders. Mm-hmm. And so their education is high. Their skill level is high. They've done a lot of things, and they are world travelers. So mm-hmm. we're coming into that kind of context, and there is a massive international flavor to our city where there's many nations represented. Mm-hmm. So we just did a marriage mentorship training class or course where we were invited to teach on marriage and mentor leaders, and there were leaders from 7 different language groups. And so you're having to take off the Canadian culture and put on the Jesus culture as you talk about marriage and marriage.
Yeah, so when we went, we teach a lot on marriage here in Canada as well. And we would go through our material before we met with this group to look again at that lens and go, okay, what assumptions are we making about all of it? And what needs, and we actually had a guide with us that really helped us figure out what the nuances of the culture were. And it's not a monocultural either, sure. because there were Indonesians there were Thai, there were Sri Malaysian, Lankans, Singaporean.
Filipinos.
Exactly. And so that, I guess, that flexibility to mm-hmm. be open to people, but at the same time teach timeless truths out of God's word.
So as we conclude this part of our discussion today, I would really love a takeaway because many of us, whether we realize it or not, we end up in contexts where we are interacting with people from a different culture. And I would love to learn from your wisdom as North Americans who've led cross-culturally. What do you think is the biggest mistake that we make when we enter into an opportunity to lead cross-culturally? What's something that we could start or stop doing right away that would help us as we lead cross-culturally?
One word, curiosity. Be curious. Don't assume that you know what's going on. Ask lots of questions. You know, we're talking cross-cultural, but we're living in Canada in a post-Christian era. So, we talk about, being missionaries, not just around the world, but also here in Canada. So, I think curiosity and to really understand where people are coming from and understand them first before we try to do something. I don't know. It comes out of relationship, wouldn't you say, Darce?
Yeah, curiosity and relationship. And that's, I'd also say that Jesus put in place this picture that is international. It is cross-cultural. Mm-hmm. And the gospel works in every situation. And the love of your neighbor works in every situation. Mm-hmm. So that was actually really powerful. I would say that as Canadians, our culture actually served us very well as we moved overseas because there's a generousness of self and a willingness to help. And those things in any culture go far. Part of my life was to engage in the community in some way. Like I said, this is a value. I can't just be doing ministry all the time. I need to engage in the community. So I signed up for community tennis. And so I'd show up with people and they wouldn't speak English necessarily, but we'd be playing and I would compliment their good shots, which was not culturally correct. You actually, you criticize your shots.
Yeah. Now, when you say that, it wasn't received well, or it was kind of a out of the blue, but it was kind of nice, even though people didn't usually do it.
It was out of the blue. It was kind of nice. And they would say, no, I was just lucky. And I would say, because I'm stubborn, actually, that was a really good shot. What you had to do there to put that backspin on the ball to do that, that took some skill. Well, I found myself getting invited to more tennis games.
Darcy's the most popular tennis buddy.
Evangelist.
And it's so fun. Why is that? Because people are hungry for affirmation. They're hungry to be seen, to be known, to be encouraged. I think of prophetic gifts, or prophecy is telling people the truth about reality, telling them the truth about who they are. And so whenever he goes off to tennis, I'm like, you go get it. Go get it. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit and see what happens.
I've had so many beautiful opportunities to share my faith. And the WhatsApp chats kind of light up afterwards. And it's just funny to me. But it came from me coming in as a world Christian with Christ culture rather than just my own, and taking a posture of being curious and listening and seeing who was with me.
Guys, this has been a great discussion on leading cross-culturally. I'm so thankful that we got you here. Now, you're going to be back again next month talking about leading together, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your experience, because that's where I've seen you up close and personal leading together, and I think there's some great things that our listeners are going to hear. But thank you for talking about this topic of leading cross-culturally. And thank you very much for listening to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. I want to give a big thanks and big shout-out to our audio producer, Mr. Grant McAllister, for making everything sound great and writing that cool jingle you'll hear at the beginning and the end of every podcast. Remember, we do this podcast because when it comes to leadership, that'll do, won't do. See you next month.